Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You know, I went to a man's house one time in Trinidad, Colorado, and I was spending the night with him, and he had some attack dogs, pit bull dogs. And they had all of these awards. I mean, there was a whole wall that was full of awards for this being an attack dog. And I was fine as long as, you know, I was in there with him. But then when I was going to go to sleep that night, I was going to sleep in the room where the attack dog slept. And he wanted me to go sleep in that room. And so I asked this guy, I said, now what happens if I have to get up during the night and go to the bathroom or something? I said, what's going to happen with this attack dog? He says, oh, that dog won't hurt you. And I said, well, he's an attack dog. You showed me all of these things. And he says, he's an attack dog. He's not a mean dog. He says, my dog had never hurt anybody. And I couldn't put the two together. I said, if he's an attack dog, I said, wouldn't he hurt me? And he said, he gave me this example that a guy broke into his house, and they lived way out in the country, like 20 minutes away from anybody else. And he said that a guy broke into his house, and this dog attacked that guy, knocked him to the ground, and put his mouth over his arm and held him for 3.5 hours till somebody came home. But he never broke the skin and he never damaged him. He would just hold him, and if this guy would start to get up, he'd growl and squeeze, and the guy just laid there. He said, and that's an attack dog. He says, a dog that would bite a person and damage him, he says, that's a mean dog. He says, I'd kill a dog like that. And when he said that, something snapped on the inside of me because I'm a jogger. During that time, I was running 6 miles a day. And in Sylacauga, Alabama one time, I had about 10 dogs tree me at 5 a.m. I was out jogging and they chased me and I got in this tree and I had to stay up there for 1.5 hours until somebody woke up and came out and got me free. And I've had dogs chase me from one end of this country to the other end of this country. I've been bit by dogs. I've been attacked. I'm not afraid of them, but I had a healthy respect for them, I guess. I was intimidated by dogs because of experience. And when he said that, it just dawned on me. I'm the one. God gave me authority over every animal on the face of this earth, and I was letting dogs intimidate me. And did you know when that happened? Something changed on the inside of me. And I was still jogging. And I remember, and I forgot where this was, but I was jogging and 2 Doberman Pinschers came after me. And I mean, they were hot on my trail. And when I saw them, I turned around. I got down in their face. I was swinging everything I had. I was kicking. I was swinging my fist at them. And I was fighting these dogs. And man, those dogs turned around. And it was funny to see a jogger chasing 2 Dobermans down the street. I was chasing them. And man, they were whimpering and whining and running. And you know, ever since then, I have never had a dog that stood up to me. I had one blue heeler come out against me. And this, I mean, I got down and I fought this dog a number of times. I've not been intimidated by him. And I found out that dogs, you know, animals can perceive if there's fear in your heart. And if there's fear in your heart, they'll come against you. But when they know that you have no fear, you're the one with the authority. And you know what? You can make dogs back down to you once you understand that you're the one that's in a position of authority. And it's the same thing with the devil. The devil is just all mouth. And he's been overstated. His position has been overstated. We're the ones with power and authority. And you do not have to be afraid of the devil. He does not have a physical body. And God gave authority to people that have physical human bodies. Even an ant has more authority than the devil because it's got a physical body. Satan can't do anything without something physical cooperating with it. And if you would quit cooperating, you can end his dominance of you. Now, the only thing I have to add as a PS to that is that even though you may not be submitting to the devil, you live in a world where there are millions and billions of people who are. And you may be affected to some degree by what they do. But nobody has as much control over you as you do. And ultimately, you can control what goes on in your life. You need to remember this same process, though, that when you're, some of you may be getting hold of the truths I'm talking about and saying, man, I believe this. We've got authority. I'm going to go out and I'm going to start seeing the dead raised and the blind eyes open. And you want to go out and just see all of these things happen for other people. Those other people have more authority over their life than you do. You have to take their authority into account. You have to get that person into some degree of compliance and response to you. You know, Jesus did this constantly. Sometimes it's subtle so that we don't see it. But Jesus would constantly get people to take some step of faith. He would tell a man whose arm was withered and he couldn't stretch it out. He'd said, stretch out your hand. He would tell them to do something that they couldn't do. And I'm sure at first they couldn't move it, but they would try and do. And as they started cooperating and yielding to the word of faith, then the power of God manifests. When people came to Jesus' meetings, they were kicked out of the synagogue. They were excommunicated for being a Jew. It cost them their nationality. It cost them their salvation according to the doctrine of that day. So to come to one of Jesus' meetings, you were an outcast. You know, there's people that come to this meeting and you might have been drugged here by a fanatic. You may not like a thing that you're hearing. Or you may have come and you're trying to sleep through the whole thing, but your husband or your wife or your mother or whatever forces you to come up here, and so you're going to come up here and just try prayer and you don't believe anything and you're just going to prove nothing works. There's people like that that come to my meetings, but in Jesus' day, boy, you didn't come to Jesus' meeting because you were an outcast. You were associating with an outcast. People who came to Jesus' meeting had already taken a step of faith. So often you'll find Jesus telling them, your faith has set you free. Be it done unto you according to your faith. But in the 9th chapter of the book of John, you find an instance where Jesus and his disciples were walking out of the temple and they saw a man there who had been blind from birth. And the disciples said, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, it's not anybody's fault that he was born blind. It's not always tied to a sin. But see, this man didn't ask for healing. He was pointed out by somebody else. And since he didn't come to Jesus' meetings, since he hadn't taken any step, Jesus spit on the ground and made clay out of the spit and put this on this man's eyes. Some people wonder why Jesus does the things that he does. And they think, well, it's just so that he can be weird, so that nobody could ever figure out a pattern and make 5 steps out of something. They just think God delights in doing things awkwardly and who knows, no rhyme or reason. The God who created such order and system in the universe himself is organized. There's a reason why he does what he does. The reason he did that for that man is because that man didn't take a step of faith. He hadn't done anything. He was passive. He was just sitting there and somebody else pointed him out. So faith without works is dead. He had to do something. His body had to get into agreement. He had to, with his physical body, submit to either God or the devil. And this man, he's no different than any of us. If you were begging for money and somebody came by and spit on your eyes, what would you do? Most of us would just wipe it off or gripe or complain about it, but we certainly wouldn't get up and walk 3/4 of a mile through busy Jerusalem streets with camels and donkeys and things like this. A blind man stumbling through 3/4 of a mile to go wash in a dirty pool. For this man to do that, you know what that was? That was an act of faith. God was getting him to do something. Your actions are important. This is why that when you're believing for healing, don't lay in bed, pop pills, have your wife rub your fevered brow and act sick. Use your body like a weapon. Submit it to God and act like you're well. Do what you didn't feel like doing. Don't lay in bed and do what you feel like doing. Get up and use your body as a weapon. I remember coming home one day. This is back when we were struggling financially and I had a painting job. And man, we needed the money badly. And I got so sick. I was up on an extension ladder as far as it would go and it wouldn't reach the eave of this house, and so I tied myself by a rope up there and I was swaying in the breeze painting, and I got sick and I was feeling terrible. And I came home for lunch and Jamie was fixing me something for lunch, and I told her, I don't think I'm able to go back to work. Boy, we needed the money. And Jamie says, you are going back to work. I said, But I feel bad. And she says, you get up and act well. And she got my arm around her neck and drug me through the house, dancing and praising God and singing, "You're healed." Told me, "You are healed. You're going to act like you're healed." Amen. And within 30 minutes, I was well. You got to act in agreement. You got to put your body into motion. And some of us are sitting there just afraid to move or whatever, afraid to do anything. And you know what? By your actions, you are empowering the devil. How many of you lay in bed all day if you don't feel bad? You shouldn't. You should be up and working. If you're laying in bed all day and if you won't get off the couch and you can't go to work because you feel bad, that's not faith. You need to get up and go to acting like you're well. Do what you don't feel like doing. If you understand this, your body is a powerful weapon. Whoever you yield it to has dominion over you. Romans 6:16. And if you yield it to faith and yield it to God, then the power of God begins to start having dominance over you. Well, that's powerful. I've said some awesome things here today. And I've got a lot more to go with it. You know, tonight I've laid down kind of a foundation. Tonight I've got something to share with you that if you can get this, it will transform your life. This is one of the simplest, most profound things that God's ever shown me. And most people do not think this way. And it's all based on what I've said up to this point. We're going to get into something that will really help you. So I encourage you to come back and to get that teaching. Also get the tapes of last night and this morning. This is kind of stuff you don't hear very often. And you know what? You need to hear it. You need to be reminded that you're the one that's in the driver's seat. Satan is not the factor that he's been made out to be.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the second teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I am so excited over the things that God has shown me. I'm trying to get this out to as many people as possible. Our programs now reach over 60 million households in the United States and over 160 million households outside of the United States. Over 200 million households around the world are now getting this program, and yet there are millions of households to go. I'm reaching as far as I possibly can, but I need you. If you are bearing witness, if this program is a blessing to you, and if you would like to see other people receive these truths, I ask you to please become a partner with us. Please call and join with us today.